The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Saturday's racing on this edition. A good Saturday coming up as well, and it's all live on Racing Radio from midday with Sean Quinn, Will Smith and James Millman in the studio. It's the final big meeting on the flat with November Handicap Day at Doncaster. We've also got Elite Hurdle Day at Wincanton. There's jumping from Sandown and Kelso, and that's the afternoon action. No evening stuff to look forward to this Saturday, but still plenty to go up. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
I nearly fell off my chair then, Mark. When you said that,
yeah,
goodness me,
yeah, plenty of stuff to look at in the afternoon, though.
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I love November Handicap Day. It's got a special resonance with me, but good final day at Doncaster.
Yes, so much so that Mick's looked at four races for us.
Yes.
So we've got a bit of a Brucey bonus on the podcast this week. Before we get to that, Mick, let's just have a quick chat about some of the news. One or two jockeys in the wars. Tony McCoy is not going to ride at Cheltenham for the open meeting. He's going to take a few weeks out after aggravating his injury. Probably came out too soon as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he still thinks he's 20, not 40. And he's just his own worst enemy for that. That he's able to just shrug these things off, but your body has the last word, doesn't it? And I think he's finally listened to it. We don't want a half-cooked McCoy, do we?
No. He just sums him up there, doesn't he? He's that desperate to get the winners. He'll ride through the pain barrier, won't he?
Absolutely. It is counterproductive, though, Mark, because I know to my cost.
Yes. Yeah, you've been there and done that, Mick.
Yeah.
You've got the scars to prove it.
Absolutely. I will have for the rest of my life.
A few other jockeys in the wars as well at Wolverhampton.
Absolutely. Yeah, I looked back at that. I didn't see it live. I was on other business yesterday, but Stephen showed me it this morning, and it was horrific.
Yeah, not very nice. Unfortunately, Fitz Flyer lost his life in the accident, and Paul Hannigan and Richard Kingscote came off worse of the jockeys.
Richard's got collapsed lungs and stuff like that, and other additional injuries. Paul's broken a collarbone, said he felt it go as he hit the ground. Freddie's Licorice broke his nose. And Toby Atkinson, I think the only one who got off relatively scot-free.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's bad news there. Hopefully they won't be out too long, and we wish them all well.
Well, Paul's sort of, he'll miss a, what will he miss? He won't miss a lot, really. Maybe, I don't know whether anything lined up for Hong Kong or whatever, but he'll be back for the Spring Carnival in Dubai, won't he? So, I mean, nice, plenty of recovery time there in the sunshine somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, it might be a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely.
Give him a bit of a break.
He's had a long old haul, hasn't he? And
yeah.
Good season, Paul. So, yeah, couldn't have come at a better time, really, could he? If he's going to happen, it might as well happen now.
Yeah, there's never a good time to break a bone, but this is not a bad time to do.
There's going
to
be one, this is it. Yeah.
Good news as well for Mad Moose fans. He's a bit of a monkey, and if you backed him, I wouldn't necessarily be too confident down at the start, but apparently he's cleared to race again.
Yeah, he's been out hunting with the, I don't know if it's Sinnington out there, up in North Yorkshire, and been behaving himself. He's been back at Nigel Twist and Davis is a while, and he's behaving himself there, but of course, you know, when he gets back on a race course, will the old demons emerge? Well, I think the BHA ought to do is make sure that they enter in the first race, Mark, because if they're waiting for him to start, it's the last race. I mean, it's going to be dark, isn't it? So I hope it's a nice early race that he's entered in when he does make his comeback.
Yeah, you don't want him to be racing in the last race, do you?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, but apparently he's behaving himself a little bit, and he's even tweeted the BHA, apparently, Mick, looking at the paper. He said, please let me race. I promise to behave. The new starting process will help immensely, and I won't let Nigel chase me.
So. Well, I used to do that with a few of mine, send them hunting, and honestly, it does them the world of good. It's something completely different. And yeah, all you've got to do is change the mindset with horses. You know, they're very much tunnel vision horses, and if you can just change that stubborn mindset a jolt, you know, just anything, you're halfway there. You know, and basically that's all these horse whispers and things are doing, just changing the horse's mind for them. That's all. And you know, if it works, it works, and good luck to them.
Yeah,
and well done to the BHA for giving him another go. I mean, I suppose won't give him too many chances if he starts acting the goat again, but fair play to them for giving him a go.
Yeah, everyone deserves a second chance and all that. All right, well, let's move on to Saturday's action. It's November Handicap Day, and Mick's going to give us his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, it must be overconfidence, Mark, that made me do four races. We had quite a good day at Musselburgh yesterday with the place banker.
Yeah.
In the first race, came up at a nice price, and the next two won, so not a bad day at Musselburgh.
Yeah.
So it's probably an exaggerated case of overconfidence.
Yeah, well, more of the same would be quite nice, Mick. And it's a day you like. You've been buzzing all morning in the office.
I love November Handicap Day. Nearly won it I did win it as a stable lad, the horse I looked after all year.
Yeah.
We had three in the race. We had the Antipode's favourite, a horse called Sabot. We had Marshall Pill, who'd won that year's Lincoln. And he was one of the market leaders as well. And Dalnamain, who was a 28-1, 33-1 shot. And I rode him work all year. And in the lead-up gallops to the New England Gap, I kept telling the boss, I said, wherever those two finish. He's always telling me, sitting behind them and don't pass them. And I said, well, I can pass them any time I want, Governor. He said, well, all right, keep it to yourself, lad. Johnny Greenaway, we rode him that day, came up to ride him in his last bit of work, and Sam found some excuse not to let him ride him, and I rode him in his last bit of work. He said, right, Johnny, I have a nice 2-year-old filly I want you to have a sit on, let me know what you think. And so he didn't want the Malt Mafia to get wind of so Johnny didn't even sit on him until he got him on him in the paddock.
Right.
Yeah, bolted up.
Good stuff.
And that was at the old Manchester track, Castle Oval.
Yeah, and you went close as a trainer as well, didn't you, mate?
Yeah, just got me in a short head on horse called Kingswick. Willie Carson rode him. Willie said to me, he hadn't got a best of draw, he was drawn towards the outside. He said, can I go right round the wide outside? He said, I think there's a decent strip of ground out there. I said, do what you want. I said, if that's where you want to go. All the rest stayed on the inner. Willie went over there. One horse went with him. By the time they turned it, I couldn't make it out on looking on my glasses, and by the time it hit the straight, the Willie and this other horse had come 10, 15 lengths clear of the pack, and it was just going to be a question of which one of those two won, and had a right old ding-dong right to the line. And this horse came and nutted him right on the line, and a horse called Abukadra, Michael Stout trained him, and Michael came over to me in the winner's enclosure afterwards and apologised. He said, he's never done anything like that before. But Walter Swinburne rode him, and he just knew what Willie was up to, and he just tracked him the whole way, and it was just on the bob, really, which is one of those things.
Okay, well, hopefully you'll get the winner in the tipping front.
Not that I'm still bitter.
Yeah, you can't tell me, it's okay. The first race that we're going to look at is the 150, and this is the Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs, and we got betting on site for this one as well. Levitate is the market leader at 11-2, 13-2 for Withensea, Jamaican Bolt 7-1, Accession, Athletic, and Dreamwalker, and Lulu the Zulu, all 10s, 14s for Farlow and Voice of a Leader, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. 11-2 the field. Mick shows how open this is. What are your thoughts on the 150?
Yeah, cracking race, isn't it? Levitate comes back for another go in this. It's actually £3 lower this year, and he's following the same pattern into it as well, running that same Ascot race, which was actually over a furlong further last year, but that's not a problem. And he finished fourth of 27 behind the banging form Bronze Angel at Ascot this time when it was over 7. And I think that was a good enough run. And he's going to be very hard to beat in his repeat bid for the race. But it's a cracking race with plenty of opponents on the shortlist. I'll go through the dangers as I see them in race card order, although there's two or three I've left off the shortlist that could easily have got a place on it. Voice of a Leader, interesting, hasn't run for 421 days, trained by Pete Chappell-Hyam, Jim Crowley in the saddle, a son of Danehill Dancer. Lightly raced, he's got obvious ability. He ran really well on his racecourse debut, so that race, lengthy absence might not be a problem. He was a close third in a good race, won by True Story on his racecourse debut. And it was a course and distance third in a listed race last time we saw him in soft ground to Be Ready, who's now rated 111. That was, as I say, a long time ago.
Mm.
So that mark of 97, if he is a group horse, it might not be beyond him. And he's a very interesting opponent. Jamaican Bolt tries 7 for the first time in his illustrious career. He's going forward at the right time of the year, and his racing style suggests that a crack at this trip that he's done one over might not be a bad move.
No.
He's got to prove himself, obviously, against some 7 furlong specialists, and 7 furlongs is a bit of a specialist trip.
Yeah.
So it's a big ask in that sense, but Buick and he struck up a real partnership last time at York, and he's riding him again. And the other one to consider is Withernsea down at the bottom. Richard Feist finishing off the season with a bang, and so is Withernsea. Up £7 for that course and distance apprentice race last time. Now, this may or may not work, but don't be surprised if Jack Garrity jumps ship from Farlow, who he's jocked up for, to ride Withernsea, who he rode last time, to replace the stricken Paul Hannigan. Keep an eye on that, Mark.
Yeah.
Jack's down to ride Farlow, but don't be surprised if Richard switches him to Withernsea with Hannigan being out of action.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, he loves the mud, and he's a player. But I do think Levitate's got a big, big chance of adding to last year's. But it's a fascinating renewal, and I'll be keeping a very close eye on that voice of a leader who might be a group horse in waiting.
Yeah, good to see him back on the track.
Yeah,
and like I say, Levitate had an identical preparation, 2 3 quarter lengths in fourth in that race at Ascot.
So. Exactly.
Yeah. Let's move on to the 225 next, and this is the Wentworth Stakes, which is a listed race over 6 furlongs for 3-year-olds and older. The market leader at the moment is Jack Dexter, who's 5-2, 100-30 for Spinatrix. Tropics is 4s, Dungannon is 8-1, 10s for Aitner. In Your Dreams and Lancelot de Lac are both 14-1, and then 20s or bigger for the others. There's plenty in with Chancey and Mick. Last year's winner, Jack Dexter, coming back for another crack at this as well. What do you make of this?
Yeah, Tropics and Jack Dexter are very closely matched, aren't they, on their last running. Tropics has been competing with the very best all year. He has got that listed penalty to contend with, that £3 penalty, which means he's very, very closely matched with Jack Dexter on their Ascot running when they were second and third respectively behind Gordon, Lord Byron, and strictly on the book, you would expect Jack Dexter with that £3 that Tropics got to come out on top. I know we're talking fine margins here, but you've got to start somewhere. I mean, Tropics as I said, he's been competing at the highest level, excellent second behind Slade Power in the July Cup as well. He's a dual listed and a Group 3 winner. Tropics got to be respected. I just wonder if that penalty, that listed penalty, will be his undoing. Jack Dexter's been battling away against the best in Group 1s and Group 2 for most of the year, and a fine effort back handicapping under his big weight in the Ego Cup when he wasn't beaten very far. This is his big chance to land his first win of 2014 with that £3 extra that Tropics got to just sway it towards Jack Dexter. So this is his chance. We should mention Aetna, the daughter of Indy Satchel, trained by McEastaby. Graham Gibbons knows her well in the saddle. She's won 2 of her 5. She's had a relatively light season, but her mark has risen from 88 to 99 this season. Something was obviously amiss last time. She may well have been in season or anything, but a big shout on her May form at York and a September form at Newmarket, and she's bidding for some potential black type here. That leads me to Spinatrix down at the bottom. Michael Dodds trains. She's a fantastic mare, Spinatrix. She's won 9 of her 38 career starts, threw in 18 places, and it just shows you what she's made of. She's finishing off the season in rare style as well. She was third to Jack Dexter in this last year, and then she added to that when she gave way to a very strong field at York. I was there that day, and she won with a bid in hand that day, showing bags of space, travel like a dream throughout. And she's bidding for well-deserved pattern success at the top of her game, and she is undoubtedly the big stumbling block to Jack Dexter. My only slight concern is that Connor Beasley, who does know well, to be fair to him, he's a regular rider these days, he's won four times on a, he's unable to claim his £3 allowance.
Yeah.
Will that sway Jack Dexter's way, or won't it? Will it not matter? We won't know till about 4:30, will we? 2:30 tomorrow on Saturday. But it's a tight one. It's been a little sort of game of chess, won't it? But I'm expecting Spinatrix to nearly do it from the front again.
Okay.
Won't be easy though.
No. Do you take a bit of a chance on Spinatrix then?
Yeah, Spinatrix is going to be the selection.
Okay, the 3 o'clock at Doncaster is where we go next. This is the Gillies Fillies Stakes, which is a listed race over a mile and a quarter. This is quite open, Mick, but Princess Lulu has Group 1 form to boast from Dovey on a penultimate start when she finished second to Ribbons in the pre-Jean Romanet, or the Jean Romanet Stakes. That form stands out here, doesn't it?
Yeah, she's, they're all playing for places, Mark. If she reproduces that Group 1, Deauville second in the Jean Romanet. Another good effort in Saint-Cloud last time where it was a small field and the race wasn't run to suit her. Yeah. I think I'm going to forgive her that that effort. She was a beaten favourite, I know, on that occasion, but I think I'm going to forgive her that and judge her better on her Deauville race the time before. And this is her opportunity to break her she's had five starts, four places, a chance to get ahead in front for the season here in this Doncaster 3 o'clock. La Banderilla's interesting though, on her first start for John Gosden since leaving France, Francois Rojo in France, she ran a really good race at Newmarket, finishing fourth of 17 by Alba Sharma, looking in the several stakes, looking as if for all the world the race was going to do her good. So she comes into this fresh, and although she's got strictly on the book work to do on the ratings with La Banderilla, she is group and listed place in her native France at 3 year old. So, and that was a perfectly satisfactory reappearance there for first start for John Gosden. And I can't leave the race without mentioning Lady Tiana. Mm-hmm. Mark's risen, Mark, from 67 to 94 in 2014. She's definitely worth a look on the place only pro market in this bid for some black type. Might be a bit optimistic, but you can't beat fillies in form, can you? And she could well hit the frame at a fancy price. But I'm expecting Princess Lulu to take the prot.
OK, Princess Lulu, the selection in that fillies listed race then. And on to the big one next, the 3:35 at Doncaster, the November handicap, a Class 2 handicap over a mile and a half. It's for three-year-olds and older, 23 of them in the lineup. And we have joint favourites with Mount Logan and Old Town Boy, both 10-1. It's 12s for Farquhar, Late Night Request and Open Eagle. Dashing Star is 14s with a whole host of others. First Mohican, Headline News, Manhattan Swing and Plutocracy, and then 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. I sense you might have a bit of a strong opinion here, Mick.
Yes, I have. I'm a bit worried about Mount Logan because he's a three-year-old with a biggish weight who's yet to encounter ground as soft as he's going to encounter. So I'd be a bit worried about him. Mm-hmm. Open Eagle finished third in this last year from a £5 higher mark, and he's finishing off the season in good style. The worry is, Mark, he had to go to Redcar the other day to pick up that £4 penalty to guarantee him a run.
Yep.
And although he didn't have to work that hard to win it, he could have probably done without that. He makes the shortlist, mm-hmm. but I'm a bit concerned about the quick reappearance.
Okay.
Old Town Boy, we can't leave the race without mentioning him, can we? His mark's gone from 73 to 95 in 2014. He highlights what an improving three-year-old he is. He has to go and do it in the 90s now in a very competitive renewal, but he seems certain to go well despite that further £6 weight rise, and so impressive at York last month when he was given a peach of a ride, admittedly. But yeah, they've made the shortlist, but I'm going to take two against the field here, Mark.
Okay.
The second of the two is King's Bayonet, who ran in that Old Town Boy race at York. He gets weight from the field. The softer, the better, and the harder they go, the better for King's Bayonet. He's a pound lower than he ran off at York. He ran much better at York last time than the placings might suggest behind Old Town Boy. And he, for me, he was very lucky not to have caught the steward's eye. I think he's bound to be on the premises, King's Bayonet. He loves the mud. The softer, the better for him. Okay. And he's one of two against the field. And the other one is Farquhar, who was trained by Pete Chappell-Hyam. Luke Morris taking the ride. His mark's gone from 85 to 97 in 2014. Excellent effort at Newmarket last time when he beat 23 rivals and beat a very good yardstick into second as well. The handicapper took exception to it, I know, by putting him up to 97, which we could have probably done without, but he just looked better than that. He looks open to further improvement. I like that. Going to Newmarket for that one and then coming on to this. It's often a good pointer race to this one. So against the field, I may have misread this race completely, but my two against the field are Farquhar and King's Bayonet, and the other two on the shortlist are Open Eagle and Old Town Boy.
Okay.
We're a cracking renewal. Absolutely. Brilliant.
It is. It's good. It's a fantastic end to the season. It's a good way to finish, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Especially if you get the winner.
Absolutely, yeah.
Good stuff, Mick. Let's have a quick summary of your selections and, before you go.
Right. Where do we want to start, Mark? The 150 was our first, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We're going for Levitate for a backup win in that. In the 225, cracking renewal of the Wentworth. Poor old Jack Dexter deserves to get it in front. He hasn't so far this season. This is his big opportunity. Will the mare's allowance of Spinatrix spin it away? We shall see. I'm going for Spinatrix to deny poor old Jack. In the fillies listed, that's the Galtry's. Is it the Gillies fillies? That's the Gillies fillies. Princess Lulu, the 3 o'clock. If you can reproduce that Prix Jean Romanée Group 1 form, she win that without breaking sweat. And in a really fiercely competitive renewal of the November handicap, I've gone for Farquhar and King's Bayonet against the field.
Good stuff, Mick. Thank you very much. Good luck with those selections and enjoy it on Saturday.
Will do, Mark. My pleasure.
So there you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton on November Handicap Day at Doncaster. You'll hear that action as well as Elite Hurdle Day at Wincanton and Jumping from Sandown and Kells. So it's all live on Racing Radio from midday with Sean Quinn, Will Smith and James Millman in the studio. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Saturday's action.